This is a prophetic message. This message is probably one of the most prophetic teachings that I've ever given. What I have to say today is going to affect your lives, and you need desperately to pay attention. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the prophets is the title. Now, how many of you are familiar with the saying, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them? We began in the book of Jonah. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was the most famous city in the 7th century B.C. In Jonah's day, Nineveh had some 120,000 residents and was originally founded by Nimrod, the man who had led in building the Tower of Babel, as recorded in the 10th chapter of Genesis. While we tend to think of the Assyrians as an evil nation, the truth is that the Assyrians invented a great number of things that you and I benefit from today. They were the first to come up with the idea of locks and keys. They invented paved roads, the first postal system, the first libraries, the first plumbing, flush toilets, and aqueducts. We're talking about B.C., before Jesus. It was into this impressive city that Jonah was sent by God to preach repentance. But we all know what happened. Jonah ran in the opposite direction. Interesting enough, all Jonah had to preach was one sentence. Yet in the 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That was his total message. Now, you can't be too hard on Jonah, to be absolutely honest. I've run all kind of ways when the Lord has said things. And I'm absolutely positive you have too. Amen. When God told you to do certain things, I absolutely know you didn't just immediately jump on it and do it. Maybe some things, but some things that seem to be a little difficult. The Assyrians were very brutal people. They were harsh and they were unforgiving. So the thought of preaching repentance to Nineveh was about as radical as God calling someone to openly and publicly to preach repentance to Hitler and the Nazis during World War II. But God was serious, and though it took being swallowed by a great fish for Jonah to get to Nineveh, he ultimately walked the streets of that great city, warning the people to repent and to turn to the Lord, with his entire message being one sentence. Jonah 3:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. In other words, to walk the complete length of the city, it would take 3 full days to walk the length of that city. Jonah 3:4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, this is his message right here. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. True repentance is a gift of God. David declares in Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifice, Lord, that you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." So it's not all the outward signs that God's tuned to. He's looking at the heart. When Nineveh, as the capital city of the nation, repented, God canceled the plans that at that moment of utter destruction. But within 100 to 150 years, depending on where you're reading from, Nineveh had turned to its former rebellious and idolatrous state. Then God raised up another prophet, Nahum. Not one now, but two prophets were sent by God to call Nineveh to repentance. Don't forget Jonah's message. 40 days, and 40 days total destruction. Nahum 1, 1-3. This message concerning Nineveh came as a vision to Nahum, who lived in Elcros. The Lord is a jealous God, filled with vengeance and rage. He takes vengeance on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies. The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet. Then verse 14. And this is what the Lord says concerning the Assyrians in Nineveh. "You will have no more children to carry on your name. I will destroy all the idols in the temples of your gods. I'm preparing a grave for you, because you are absolutely despicable." Now, did you notice what Nahum said? The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, but he will not acquit the wicked. Now, church, only God knows the amount of sin in any nation, but he does know the sin of a nation. Those things done in governments and those things done in individual lives, God knows all of it. It is the justice of God that will drop the hammer eventually. After granting great mercy and exercising great patience toward a nation, but even then, when sin cries out for judgment, our patient and long-suffering God sends warnings. Sends warnings. As a last resort to provoke repentance in the hearts of the people. Nineveh, we're still talking about Nineveh. Nineveh repented the first go-round. They had like a great awakening that took place. And then, of course, they slid back to doing all they had been doing. And another prophet, just so you follow me, Nahum, is sent by God with another warning. Now, Nineveh fell, totally destroyed, because of a breach in its border, to be heard of no more until almost the 1900s. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he is a God who sends warnings. America has received the same patience and long-suffering of God, just like Nineveh. We have not, by any means, can we stand up and say, "Give us one more chance." We have been sent prophet after prophet after prophet through the years with great warnings, particularly the last 50 years. In 2017, Billy Graham's daughter, Anne, led a large conference in confessions for the nation. Interesting that it was 2017, 7 years ago. In other words, we've had 7 years to repent. And then God gave us in 2004, 20 years ago, as we cried out for repentance in our own CSRA. 20 years ago, as we went to the Civic Center, and around 8,000 people were there, and a roar of God came in the place that stunned and shocked all of us. But have we changed as a result of it? When nations fail to hear, the Bible testifies that God in His mercy will often send signs to wake up a generation that is ignoring Him, such as the 2017 sign that people today are lining up for the 2024 that's coming, running to places so they can see the eclipse and they can be right there and have their binoculars and they can see the eclipse with no spiritual understanding whatsoever. In a matter of weeks, on April the 8th, a solar eclipse will appear in the sky over these United States as a sign and a message, just as God said in Genesis 1:14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." It's abundantly clear that God is speaking to the United States of America. The solar eclipse of 2017 is about to be crossed by the solar eclipse of 2024, forming a huge X over this nation. 7 years to repent, and the nation is in more trouble today than it was 7 years ago. The path of the two eclipses cover the United States from border to border, east to west and north to south. Again, during the week as we've put these up and shown them to you, the point is not finding yourself on where a line will go of the cross, of where they cross. That really is not the issue. The issue is the X of what is about to take place. Church, God is calling out to America. And the voices of Jonah and of Nahum are being heard in the land. Yes. Repent before it's too late. Is anybody in the government listening? Is the church across America listening? Credible, tested, and proven prophets in this nation have been warning America about the consequences of continuing to tolerate and even promote ungodly and perverse politics and agendas. David Wilkinson was sounding the alarm 50 years ago in the 1970s. So did Billy Graham, Kim Clement, David Duplessis, Brother Hagin, Brother Dan Bowler, and our own beloved Marianne Brown. Every generation has a communication from heaven. Every generation has a communication from heaven to bring them to repent. We got a sign coming. What we really have coming is a warning. That the first part was given 7 years ago. And a nation did not repent. You see, church, if you get an invitation to a special event, you have the choice whether or not you want to attend. God doesn't invite people to submit to Jesus as Savior and Lord. He commands it. It's not an option. No RSVP comes with the gospel. If you refuse it, you perish. It's that simple. Over and out. For the ultimate sign has been given. Just as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so is the Son of Man to every generation. Yes. Jonah delivered the word of God and the people of Nineveh repented. That was Nineveh's great awakening. as I said before, Nineveh, the Assyrians, were wiped totally out by a breach in the wall, in the border where it was. John the Baptist was a prophet appointed by God to deliver the call to repentance to his generation. Why? Why? Because there was one coming whose light would pierce the darkness of sin and Satan and enlighten all who would choose to follow him. So the generation when Jesus was on the earth was unique in history because they saw him with their own eyes. They heard him with their own ears. They witnessed amazing miracles. In the same way, the last generation of which you are a part, after 2,000 years, you're going to see him again, and you're going to see him on this earth when he comes to rule and reign in the 1,000-year millennial. You'll be a part of it. You're going to see it. We have the same blessing right in front of us that the generation of the first century had. But let us make sure that we do not make the same mistakes. Yes. That we do not entertain unbelief and doubt. That we do not say, they've been saying this forever. They've been saying this for years and years and years. And this is nothing but just another eclipse. Not so. But as the last generation, we will live by faith and not by sight, because we are the fig tree. We have been named. That's who we are. Amen. We shall see him and we shall be taken up to be with him. So by faith, we shall forever shout, Jesus is coming. And he's coming very soon. By faith, we have a home in heaven awaiting us, built and prepared, furnished, and put there by Jesus himself. Listen and learn from the prophets.